And that's why I want to show you a picture this morning of the reality of God's love for you, how it continues to speak from the heavens, even in the earth. And the way I want to do it is by having you use your imagination. I want to show you a little video, as it were, but it's not going to be something you see on the screen. It's something you have to imagine with your mind. Aren't you glad you have an imagination? I'm going to read the scripture out of the book of Revelation. Now, people think, oh no, Keith's going to preach on eschatology or something. I am not. I am not an eschatology preacher. I don't understand it all, to be just very, very candid. But here's what I do know. The book of Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is where I find hope in the imagery of the book of Revelation. There's something about the Lamb of God that's astonishing even now in heaven. So in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, it gives you a visual of what's happening in heaven, at least to some degree, from John the Apostle's point of view, his perspective. Now, the reason I want to show you what's happening in heaven, because Jesus said, when he taught the disciples to pray, he said, you can pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to show you something that's happening in heaven that you can transfer here suddenly. It can happen for you this afternoon. It can happen for you tonight. It can be an expression in your life throughout this week, this upcoming year, from now on and now on. Because you all probably want to go to heaven, don't you? How many want to go to heaven? Anybody at all? About half of you. That's pretty good, Pastor Jan. You got about half the church. You know, we all want to go to heaven, right? I mean, I want to go to heaven. I just don't want to go today. Do you? I don't want to go tomorrow. I don't want to go this week. I don't want to go next week. I don't want to go until I've lived the fullness of what God had in my heart. And I lay this body down, suck my last breath. And then I'm confident that absent from this blessed, beautiful thing, absent from my body, I'm present with the Lord. Now it's a mystery, but this is my hope because of Jesus. To imagine what it's going to be like. Remember that song they sang a couple years ago or whatever? I can only imagine what it will be like. Will I sing? Will I dance? Will I lay down? Will I shout? Will I run? I don't know. But let's when we look at this imagery from Revelation, I want you to put yourself in the picture. Let's imagine we're in heaven now. I think any seat in heaven is a good one. I don't think you have a better view from one position to another because you're in a timeless zone. I think you're really comfortable wherever you are. I'm just going to be glad to be there. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say, my, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm here because it's only the Lamb that I would be there. Jesus is my everything. I got nothing else. And I like it that way. People say, Keith, it's pretty risky that way. Well, then you keep trusting yourself and see how that goes for you. I'm trusting the Lamb of God. But let's imagine we're there. I'm speaking to you on a subject I call purchased. Purchased. I say it's a done deal for everyone everywhere. And it's based on this passage in Revelation chapter 5. They're all around the throne of God. Now we're hitting the play button now. And I'm going to read this verse that's on the screen here. We're all around the throne of God. But think about this. We're around the throne of God, but we're not really looking at God. We're looking at the Lamb of God. Jesus is the main attraction. And the astonishing thing for those in heaven, which include created beings, angelic beings, elders, human beings. You know, I mean, it's a conglomerate. When you read the book of Revelation of who's there and what's there, they're astonished at the Lamb of God. Because the love of God in Christ still speaks and still communicates. Do you know when Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, it affects everything. The Bible says it's reconciled all things, things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. To me, that's astonishing. I can't even begin to figure it out, but I just say, hallelujah. Jesus Christ has reconciled all things. So they're around the throne of God. Look at it says in verse 9 here. It says they sang a new song saying, you are worthy, speaking of Jesus. Jesus, you are worthy for you were slain. What's that a reference to? The cross. The cross must be in your equation for any type of personal joy. The cross must be in your equation for any hope at all. You were slain and you have purchased us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have been purchased by God and it's a done deal. And it's for everyone. Everywhere, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every kindred. And this is why I go to the nations. I tell people because of the radical love of God in Christ that they have been included into the Father's family through the obedience of one, Jesus Christ. And so purchase, actually in the most translations, they use the term, and Jesus has redeemed us. We've been redeemed. But the newer translations use the term purchased. I like the term purchased because that's what our culture understands. We don't use the term redeemed much. You don't go to the mall today and then come back and say to your husband, husband, my wonderful love, I was led by the Spirit. This is Heidi's lines to me, my wonderful wife of 33 years. Oh, Keith, I went by. I just was led to go by, but I bought this. And by the way, I bought this. And I bought this. And Keith, I bought this as well, but they were all 50% off. And then I had another queue. She gives me this. I said, of course you were led. Heidi, that's so wonderful, you know. But she doesn't come home and she doesn't say, Keith, I redeemed some dresses. No, she said, I purchased all these outfits for our grandkids because they would look cute. I don't know, whatever, you know. See, we use the term purchased in a funny way. We say we purchase something and we don't ever fully pay for it. In other words, we go to the mall and use a credit card and then don't pay the full payment on the credit card. We pay for the dresses for 6 months. Even though we purchase things, we still have payment on our mind. See, right now, do you notice you can get a good vehicle cheap now in terms of no interest, no money down? You can pay for 72 months. That's called 6 years. Let's pretend that I came to church this morning in a brand new truck. A couple of the brothers met me out there, and I got out of my beautiful truck. And they say, wow, Keith, this is a high-end, big-time truck. I said, well, I just purchased it. Now, in their minds, they're thinking Keith paid for it because Keith said he purchased it. So in their minds, they're having a judgment like, I knew Keith was this big-time gospel preacher. I bet he's loaded. I bet he's got a lot of money. You know how we think sometimes? So I could come into the church and preach, and I could have a couple brothers in the back thinking to themselves, wow, Keith's got this brand new truck. He purchased it. He's loaded. And I could be preaching and thinking, my goodness, the first of the month is around the corner. What's the first of the month mean to you? Payments. Payments. See, there's a lot of things we purchase and still have payments on our mind. Now, see, everything in our merit-based society is based on you and your effort and your capacities. If you do good, you get good. See, the American dream that we sell in our culture is a merit-based dream. It's if you do good, if you play by the rules, if you dot all your T's or cross your T's and dot your I's or whatever, then you can get ahead in life. How many know that's not really the full truth? How many know the system is still set against people? In a lot of ways. Now, that's okay in our relationships to have a merit-based relationship. I'm not against merit-based relationships. But what you can't do when you step into the kingdom, you cannot have a merit-based mindset. Because the Father's relationship toward you is not based on you. Your Father's relationship toward you is based on Jesus. It's a grace-based arena. And sometimes what we do is we step into the kingdom of God and we say, okay, Jesus went to the cross. He forgave all my sins, but it's up to me to keep me here. And we have payments on our mind. The way we have payments on our mind, it's always about doing something. Do this, do that, do it harder, do it more often. Religion makes you pay constantly with guilt, with condemnation, with shame, with do. It's do. It's do. Now, I could get really plain with you if you want and tell you what I really think. It's a big pile of poop, according to your pastor. And he said that came directly from the Greek. Hallelujah, huh? Yeah. Now, Paul the Apostle said the same thing. Now, thinking of merit-based worldviews, Paul said, I'm of this family. I'm of this tribe. He talked about his genealogy. Listen, if I talk about my genealogy, my family tree, I come from a long line of losers. And I'm delighted. I know that I have nothing apart from Jesus, the Lamb of God. But Paul said, I'm educated in a certain way. According to the law, I'm blameless. That was the impression he was giving to people. But deep in his heart, he knew that wasn't the truth. He said, I count all this doo-doo stuff as doo-doo. I count it all as poop, according to your pastor. Dung, according to the apostle. And according to our young generation, it's another word or two. Hallelujah. Anyway, it's a pile of stuff that gets you nothing. See, and so what happens many times, we don't have any rest in our lives as believers because we put our head on the pillow and we want to know if we're secure. Then the devil says, you know, Keith, you haven't read the Bible in 3 days. You haven't prayed in tongues very long or at all. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. I wonder, are you in a backslidden state? Keith, are you even saved? None of you experience these challenges. That's why I like you all so much. But what it is it's the enemy, it's your flesh, trying to put you on a merit-based system before the Father who's in an unmerited-based world. God's love in Christ is enough. There's this one lady, when I preach in America, she always comes up to me. She's precious. Don't misunderstand. I'm trying to just explain a point. She grabs my arm after the service, because I like to hang out and say hi, talk to people. And she grabs my arm, and I say, hey, precious one. And she tells me all her problems. Problems with her husband, which is the longest list. Then the list gets a little shorter with her kids and her grandkids and everything. And her hurts and her pains and everything. So I hear it all. I say, precious one, let's give it to Jesus, the Lamb of God. So I pray a prayer. Say amen. As soon as I say amen, she grabs my arm again and squeezes it. And she says, Keith, I said, what is it, my dear? She said, oh, could you pray harder? Could you pray harder? Could you do it more? And I say, you know what? The love of the Lamb of God is enough. God's love in Christ, the name of Jesus, is enough. We don't need to be on a treadmill that it's always up to us. We can rest and know it is up to Jesus. The truth of the matter is you are purchased of God. It is a done deal, and there's no more add-ons. There's no more upsells. There's no more things you need to do. You have been pre-approved eternally, and this is the demonstration of the love of God. God has got you everything in Christ. He is your all in all. So how do you know? See, think of this. Heaven is astonished with it. You ought to be astonished with it. You ought to transfer what's happening in heaven to your earth, and every day say, you got to be kidding me. It's got to grip your soul. It's the only thing that can really preserve you and move you in these days. It's the love of God that compels you. And it's not your love for Him. It's His love for you. When you have your whole focus on His love for you, your life toward Him is only a reciprocal. And His expression through you is more dominant and prominent than anything you can conjure up through your doo-doo efforts. It comes anchored deep in your soul. And it's fruitful in the lives of everybody you come in contact with. How do you know for sure that what they're viewing in heaven is true for you now? How do you know it's true that you are purchased? How do you know for sure it's a done deal? How do you know for sure it's for everyone everywhere? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you three things real quick of how you can be sure that what I'm telling you can grip your soul and bring a transformation and bring absolutely perfect peace for every part of your life that seems to be going haywire. Number one, you can know that you're purchased by God because God has signed for you. S-I-G-N-E-D, signed, a signature. You know what a good salesman wants? A signature. If I was going to buy that truck, you know what the salesman... Keith, could you just sign the dotted line? When you sign, they got you. Huh? Sure, a good salesman wants a signature. God understands that the importance of a signature. And God has signed for you with the blood of Jesus. When you get a package delivered from FedEx or UPS or somebody, they come to your house or your business, they'll deliver all the packages. They come to the Life Center about every day, deliver something. If I'm there and I'm the only one there, they hand me a pad. Said, would you sign for the packages? Sure. So you use your finger and sign the document, right? Nobody can read my signature. It's a mystery. Because I sign in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Anyway, so it's a mystery. And then they say, what is your name? I say, Hershey, like the Hershey bar. And then they type in Hershey. And then they say, Mr. Hershey, these packages are out of my hands. They're in your hands. I want you to know that when God signed for you, you are in the hands of God. God signed you with the blood of Jesus. Look at the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19. Verse 18 says this, knowing, everybody say knowing. Now that's not a head knowledge knowing, that's a gut knowledge knowing. That's something you know deep, deep, deep. You know, it's not enough to know something in your head. What moves you is what you know in your heart. You have to know that you were not redeemed or purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold. What's silver and gold? Silver and gold is merit-based economies. This is what we all want, right? Silver, gold, money. Yeah, because we have to live. We have to survive. We have to take care of our families. We've got to pay our bills. We have generous ideas that we want to help. So we all look for silver and gold, but God doesn't secure you with anything merit-based. You're not purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, your gene pool. But you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, it's a reference to the cross. At the cross, God purchased you with the blood of Jesus, and he paid for you in full. It's not he purchases you and then it's up to you to keep on paying. You are paid in full. But you got to believe it. You got to swallow it. And it begins to change your whole worldview about your life. You are purchased by God with the blood of Jesus. You know, the currency of the kingdom of God is not faith, technically. The currency of the kingdom of God, according to this verse, is blood. It's the blood of Jesus. The blood does all the work. Faith allows you to enjoy what the blood did. But the blood did the work. See, I could live as an outsider from Christ in my own sufficiency, and somebody can proclaim that I've been purchased by God. Faith moves me to the purchase position in Christ. But it's the blood that did the work. Faith allows me to enjoy the reality of my redeemed innocence before God, that he's got me. I am in his hands. It's beautiful. The blood of Jesus has signed for you. So number one, you are signed for. God has signed for you. Number two, how do you know you're purchased by God? How do you know it's a done deal? You are signed by God. And number two, you are sealed by God. You are signed and you're sealed. A seal is approval. See, everybody wants that assurance, that comfort, that confidence, that God's seal is upon me. In the old days, the king would have a ring. It was an approval ring. It was a seal. The seal of the king. In the new days, we like recommendations. We like people's validations. You know, those of you who do social media, people who post something like to be liked. How many Facebook friends do I have here? Instagram or Twitter or whatever, huh? Yeah. People like to be liked. I like to be liked. My flesh appreciates people liking me more than people rejecting me. And unfortunately in my life, I have both. But I like to be liked. When I started ministry, I met your pastors 1,000 years ago. In the last millennium when I met them. Do you know, I was so glad because, you know, somebody is distinguished of leaders in the church, and I was just kind of starting. And in those days, I liked that somebody liked me. And I would like when somebody would recommend me to somebody. I thought, man, I'm going to have another place to preach here this year. Hallelujah. Twice in this year. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? I like validation. Today, I still like to be liked, but not in the same way. The only approval I really care about is heaven's. Hallelujah. I have heaven's approval. God has signed for me and God has sealed me. He sealed me with his spirit. Look at what it says in Ephesians 1, verse 13. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Notice you had to hear it. And then it says, in whom also having believed. Somebody has to proclaim the truth. It may be a reality from the heavenly point of view, but it's got to be proclaimed and you have to believe it to receive it and step into the new creation. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit upon you. You are signed and you are sealed. You know, I'm growing in the confidence, and one beautiful thing about praying in the Spirit is just the validation. I'm sealed with the life of God. But even if people don't have that full expression, so to speak, we have to be confident that we are one with the Lord. And the Spirit of God has taken residence in us. We are signed and we are sealed. And you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, He doesn't come to go. He comes to stay. The Holy Spirit is not a nitpicker. The Holy Spirit will always bring you an awareness of your righteousness. But the Holy Spirit is not a nag. And the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you when you're not perfect in your flesh. Because you're never going to be perfect in your flesh. And if you think you are, your pride just disqualified you. Hallelujah. You know, we have to understand the love of God is on our side even when we are at our weakest. You are signed and you are sealed. Number three, real quick. You are delivered. You're signed. You're sealed. You're delivered. You're His. I'm your. Remember that old Motown song? I'm signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. Now, see, you can have a confession of faith now from the service today. You can look yourself in the mirror and say, because of the Lamb of God, you are signed by God. You are sealed by God. And you are delivered by God. I'm yours. I'm yours. You know, you don't have to make your life and there's a simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. That's astonishing. And listen, if in heaven you can just behold the Lamb of God and say, you got to be kidding me. How does this work? There's something so beautiful and refreshing and strengthening and thrilling about the simplicity of the love of God. It'll anchor you. You are delivered. Now, the Bible teaches you're delivered from a lot of things. You're delivered from sin, Romans 6. You're delivered from the power of darkness. You're delivered from a number of things. But let me just share this with you this morning. Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4. Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. Again, every verse I'm sharing with you has a reference to the cross in it. Because that's where the work is done. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age. How many know we live in a crazy world? How many know we are in a present evil age? My, the place has gone nuts. Huh? I don't even know how to, if I was a kid trying to imagine what I'm living in, I don't think I would even have the terminology to imagine what our world is. But Jesus, according to His work on the cross, delivered us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. The will of God for you is to know you're delivered. You're delivered. You don't have to be intimidated and overwhelmed and filled with fear and enter into all the chatter of the flesh regarding anything. You can be a light. You're delivered from this present evil age according to the will of God. And I tell you what, you have to believe that you're delivered. I was speaking to somebody on the phone. The church always so kind to me, gives me a place to stay. And I got here yesterday afternoon sometime and made a couple of calls. And this person was talking to me about all the terrorism now. And the challenges in Lebanon where I'm working. And I'm flying to Beirut or to the Philippines where there's all kinds of chaos where we are. Islamic terror. Radicalized situations. And so they're talking to me about how afraid I am. And so I said, well, you know, I think I have common sense still to a degree. My wife may not think so, but I think so. I still think. I'm still perceptive. I'm still aware. I still have the Spirit's nudges. But I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm delivered from this present evil. I'm in the system, but I'm not of it. And you know what? You're not going to legislate your way out of it. You're going to have to trust Jesus in it. Jesus talked about as the days, you know, of His coming, He gave some descriptions of what the world's going to be like, and it doesn't look real pretty. And so understand the love of God is so rich to preserve you. You are signed by God. You are sealed by God. And you're delivered by God. You're purchased. And it's a done deal, and you don't have to make any more payments to secure you. That is the love of God. When you know this kind of radical love that you've been purchased, you can change the way you think. And this is where we all have problems, right here yonder. Up north, huh? But you change the way you think, you can actually change the way you live. Look at the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought or purchased. Everybody say purchased.
Purchased.
You're purchased with a price, the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, because you're purchased, therefore glorify God in your body. What's your body? Your body's your flesh life. The only way I can fix anything in my flesh life is to know I'm purchased. I can't fix it out of my capacity and my diligence and my disciplines. I've tried. The only way this body has any hope of sin not having dominion is the grace of God. I'm purchased. If I renew my mind to the reality of the blood of the Lamb and what Jesus has done, I'll glorify God in my body, my flesh life, and in my spirit. That's my spiritual life. Listen, church won't be a struggle. Oh, dear God, it's Sunday. Got to go to church. Oh, dear, I got to do this. No. Your spiritual life is in unison with your mind renewed to the Lamb of God. It changes everything. And so the way I try to teach people to get fixed in their flesh is not to try harder or to do more. Because do doesn't get the job done. I say, listen, God loves you as you are. God accepts you as you are. Sit at the table. And, you know, we sang it in the lyrics of your song today. That last song. It's amazing. It's amazing. So the conclusion of the matter is Jesus has got you. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You're His. And there's no ands, no ifs, and no buts about it. People always come up to me because, I tell you, radical love disappoints people. People who like to save themselves based on themselves, they can't handle just trusting Him alone. They still want pre-approval methods. And so I tell them, you know, have at it. Have both if you want. Whatever makes you happy. But when I'm honest with myself, all I've got is the grace of God. It's the work of the Lamb, the love of the Lamb. And that's what changes me. That's what makes Keith Hershey a nice guy when he's a nice guy. It's the love of God. It's nothing more. God's love in Christ. I believe I'm secure eternally. I believe there's nothing else due for me to qualify. All my doing is because I'm pre-approved. I've never worked harder in my life. I've not become lazy because the love of God's gripped me. I labor more abundantly because of the grace of God in me now. It doesn't make you a slacker. Remember Slacker? That was in the movie, What About Bob? Okay, that's Slacker. That's a funny word. Oh, goodness. You know, people always say, well, Keith, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about this sin? What about that sin? What about the Lamb? You're purchased. You're purchased. Now, the conclusion of the matter for you ought to be like it is in heaven. Let's go back to the video. Then I'm going to be done preaching because Pastor Jan's going to take me for lunch, and I'm going to eat two or three meals a day just to make him pay a ton of money. And I'm going to make sure the bill's paid in advance so I'm not stuck with a bill at the end. Hallelujah. Let me show you. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 14. Now remember, they're all around the throne of God. You've got the created beings, the human beings, the angelic beings, the angels. And they're not looking to God, they're looking to the Lamb. And they're saying, worthy and hallelujah. What are you going to say? I mean, how long are you going to say it? Eternity. I mean, you got that kind of energy? I can't pray very long sometimes in the earth. I'm not real verbal, to be honest with you. I'm very quiet. Sometimes I run out of things to say. I'm not the kind of guy that's equipped with strong, long prayers. People come up to me and say, oh, my Keith, with what you're doing, you must pray hours every day. Sorry, you got the wrong guy. I don't want you to create something in your mind about me. But you know what I do often throughout my day? I'm praying simplistic prayers. I like what Wigglesworth said. I don't very seldom ever pray 15 minutes, but I usually don't go 15 minutes without praying. In other words, there's a conversation. There's just an awareness. God, you got me here. You're giving me the wisdom and the revelation for everything. And what I don't understand, which seems to be most things, I can give to you. I can give people to Jesus. I can give situations to Jesus. So they're around heaven. Say, my goodness, we are purchased by God. The love of God in heaven is still speaking. Everyone, everywhere has been included. You got to be kidding me. What do they say? They say hallelujah and worthy and a few other things. But eventually you run out of things. Now, the reason I like this is because of what I'm going to show you now, I transfer to my earthly life. Watch. Revelation 5, verse 14. Then the four living creatures said, amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You know what amen means? This is the newer translation. It means cool. Amen means so be it. Amen is an agreement with God. Amen is a force of faith. It's your agreement with the love of God. Cool. So be it. I don't get it, but I got it. I don't understand it, but I grab it. Amen to the love of God in Christ. You got me. Look at this. This is their conclusion now. The four living creatures said, amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
And the 24 elders fell down. They go, boom. Did they fall in the spirit? I don't know. Did they fall in the flesh? I don't know. It said they fell down and they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They may have just sat down. You know what it is to me? It's a place of rest. It's a place where you're making no more payments. It's a place where you know the job is done. It's a place you're not striving anymore. You're mimicking, that's the wrong word, but you're mimicking Jesus. When Jesus paid the bill in full, he sat down. And Hebrews said that's the difference in covenants. Because the priest in the old game stood continually because the work was never done. And an old covenant-minded person always has payments on their mind. But Jesus sat down and he said, it's done. I love the imagery of heaven. They fell down and just said, amen. You know what I do now when I pray? Because life can be full of pain. And sometimes I don't know how to pray. And if I know how to pray, I don't know how to pray very long. You know what I've learned to do in recent months? Sit down and shut up. And just say amen. Be thrilled with the love of God. Do you know what I do with my head on the pillow? and your mind is bombarded. I say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're the Lamb. The love of the Lamb secures me. I say amen to the love of God. You know what I do with my granddaughters when I'm home? I take them to the hammock. The will of God is always a hammock. Or a recliner. Or a lawn chair. And I lay in the hammock under the stars and I tell them about God's majestic creation. And I teach them to say amen. Believe that God loves you. Believe that God signed for you. Believe that God made all the payments. Believe that God's got nothing on you because He put it on Jesus. And if you can believe it, just say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Amen to the love of God. God's love in Christ is enough. This is the mystery of the cross. This is the mystery of God's love and acceptance to us. The mystery that we have been purchased by God. We just say amen. You know what do-gooders want to do? You know what merit-minded believers want to do? You know what religion will try to sell you? They won't sell you just a peaceful amen. Their slogan, religion will say, just do it. It's the Nike slogan. You just do more. You do this. You do this. You do that. You do it harder. You do it more. You do it, do it, do it, do it. Until you're so fully exhausted when you're honest with yourself. No wonder people draw back. So I can't keep the pace. Religion will give you a do-do plan. Just do-do a little more do-do. You know what I'm pointing people to? The love of the Lamb of God, which says it's done. And I just say amen to the love of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has got us covered. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. God's love in Christ secures you. And that's the good news. And this is what I preach in the Middle East. This is what I preach to Syrian refugees. If they're in Lebanon or if they're in the Philippines or if they're in America. Whoever I come across, God's love in Christ is enough. And I'll tell you what, if people can believe, they're transformed radically. Did you like the word today? Give the Lord a shout of thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands on your heart. Father, these are your precious people. Let their hearts have peace this morning. Jesus, you are everything. Thank you, Father, that because of the Lamb of God, we are signed by God with the blood of Jesus. We are sealed by God with the Holy Spirit. We are delivered by God from this present evil world. And we say thank you. We say amen. Father, during this Thanksgiving week, give us amen moments. Give us quiet places. Whether it's quietly watching a football game, or whether it's late at night, or whether we have to get up because our kids are crying, or whether our minds are tormented with challenges of our families. Jesus, we just say amen. And we say, Jesus, you are everything. Thank you that you're working, you're providing, you are full supply. And we give you praise, Father. Now, friend, this moment with our head bowed and eye closed, maybe you're here and maybe you've never really committed your life to Jesus. Maybe you're still trusting yourself. Maybe you thought this Jesus stuff is just goofy nonsense. But maybe you heard the gospel in a way today where your heart's come alive and you say, Keith, I want to believe it. You know, it's not a tough thing to be accepted. You just have to accept the fact that you're accepted. It takes faith. And faith for righteousness is all you need because Jesus is your full supply. If you can believe that Jesus went to the cross, that Jesus went to the grave, and he was raised from the dead to secure your salvation, you just have to receive and say amen to it. If you'd like to say a simple amen, to say a simple prayer, to accept Jesus this morning, you say, Keith, I'm far from the Lord. I don't know if I've ever been born again, or if I have been born again, I've been so far away. I need to reconnect my relationship with the Father. Just on the count of three, raise your hand so I can pray for you. One, two, three. Would you do that? Raise your hand in this auditorium. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your great grace in this place. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You're so blessed. Praise the Lord. I turn the service back to the leaders. Hey, tonight I get to be here again, 6:30. Going to have a great time. And so come along. Also, I only brought one series of teaching product here. It's this series called Purchased. It's three CD series. It's normally $20. Today it's $10. If you want it, if we run out of them, I'll send more or send it to your house or whatever for that price. And but it's there if you want it. So God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you,
Pastor.
Thank you.